93 stories above the streets of New York, is Summit One Vanderbilt, a place at the center of the world and beyond it. It's a place to reflect and be reflected, a place to get swept up in the moment or in a sea of silver balloons, where the night lights up and your feet meet the sky, where you can lose yourself and find your city. Summit One Vanderbilt, the view that changes you. Get tickets at summitov.com.
In addition to taking care of one another inside the church, what if we developed a lifestyle of taking care of the most needy outside the walls of the church? How would that change the community and our city? Bob Moffitt, president and founder of Harvest Foundation in Phoenix, along with Pastor Julian Gibb, talk with pastors and leaders about how sacrificial love by those in the church to those in need outside the church has helped people see and embrace Jesus Christ. It's that demonstration of Jesus' greatest commandment that we'll hear more about today on The Kingdom and Its Stories.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are around the world. It's a pleasure to have you join us here today. You are listening to The Kingdom and Its Stories. And today we're blessed to have Susan Miller join us. And for those of you who listened last week, you'll recognize that name, Susan Miller from Just Moved Ministries. And if you weren't listening last week, why not? You can listen to a recording of it on our website, which is www.harvestfoundation.org. So, Susan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Julian. This is so exciting for me.
Well, Susan, let's recap briefly. Susan, as you said, you know, you were quote unquote a corporate wife who would follow her successful husband around the country as his job required. And what was it you were feeling? You were saying how one move led to another, and you arrived in Phoenix for this move. How were you feeling at this point?
Well, I was, if I can be totally honest, and there might be a woman out there listening that says, yes, thank goodness she said that word. I was angry. I was so angry at Bill. I thought, one more move, and this is all about climbing the ladder, and you know, I'm the one that has to make all the adjustments. And I was just angry, and that began a crack in our marriage, because I resented it, and I was angry, and I had all these feelings and emotions inside. And I thought, you know, I am leaving behind everything I love, a church, a family, friends. I knew all the shopping places and the outlets to go to. And I'm going from Atlanta, Georgia, green grass and magnolias to the desert and rocks. I went from grits to guacamole. And I didn't even know how to pronounce guacamole. I mean, I am so dripping Southern. And I just thought, this is terrible. Bill has destroyed me. And I was angry at God. And I thought, why would you let us do this? Why would you, you know? So that's how I felt, if I can be honest. Because a move is something a woman feels because she is emotionally connected for the most part. That sense of community and belonging is what a woman, you know, that's her foundation. And in a community and, you know, having that 3 o'clock in the middle of the night friend to call, and then all of that's uprooted when you move. And you have to start all over again. So that's why the three-part journey in my book, After the Boxes Are Unpacked, the three-part journey I take a woman on is to let go and trust God and to start over and with great hope and to move forward with faith. And those are the three steps that I had to go through and that I could then take other women through.
So that's a very hard-hitting and important point that you mentioned. You know, with obviously when we move, there's all those discomforts, those obstacles that we go through, having to find a new house, and I know my wife and I, we're looking at houses, and to me, we were looking at things, and it's like, well, in our old house, we just got the perfect countertop. I know it's a first world problem, perfect countertop, and she loved, and go to a new house and it has the wrong count, and I'm like, it's a piece of stone. It's what you put your coffee cup on. Let's move on. And so, however, it really is. She was saying to me how the home is like a nest. It's a place where it feels safe. It's a little oasis from the crazy world around us. And so you were saying how, it caused a bit of strife, a bit of division between your husband and yourself. So is that a common problem that that you address?
Well, I think that it certainly is realistic because a lot of times when you move, a husband is, if this is a move where he has gone to another job or a company transfer, I'm speaking in those realms, but he is excited about his new job. He has a place to go. He has people around him that will welcome him, and he's very preoccupied with that. Of course, naturally. I mean, it's a new job. And then as a wife, she is either, if she works outside the home, she's dealing with finding a new job and the children and setting up the home and unpacking those boxes and getting settled in. And all of a sudden, you find that a couple begins to live independently because he's on his track, she's on her track. So the key is, and I've had so many women say, it took months for us to get back on the same page because, to be able to share together, to be able to have, to be one again, because we were both living independent and taking care of what needed to be taken care of, which again is normal. But you have to realize that you can't continue that. You've got to be able to feel like you're functioning as a couple and a family again at some point. And it took a long time for Bill and I to feel that way, because he was on his fast track, if I may say, career-wise. And, I was trying to find, a friend and get the kids squared away. And they started soccer. And that's how I learned my way around Phoenix and Scottsdale, is by going to soccer games in different parts of the city and began to meet other moms and couples on the soccer field, doing something that would help me feel like I was not invisible, that I belonged, that I had a sense of community. These are all key things a woman needs, because she loses that sense of community. And I encourage women not to allow what has fractured you in your marriage to shatter you. Don't let, I mean, it could have shattered Bill and I, but underneath, we knew we loved each other. We just had lost it. We had lost that connection. So don't, if you're listening to me and you feel like, I know my husband loves me and I love him, don't let what has fractured you shatter you. It is God and God alone that healed our brokenness. And we got involved in a church. And I think that's so important, and in good, solid Christian fellowship. Small group, couple time, that kind of fellowship. We begin to set aside time each week for each other to have a date night, to stay in touch. We consciously made the effort to not allow that crack, that fracture, to shatter us. And it takes work. It is not easy. And some of you that are listening are saying, yeah, but my husband doesn't understand. He doesn't get it. I understand what you're saying, listener, because you need to be a student of your husband in helping him understand. You need to encourage communication between the two of you, whatever that looks like. If it's a walk, if it's sitting at the dinner table after the children leave, whatever it is, to have that connection time to communicate. And it's okay for you to say, this move has been hard on me. I'm not happy. I know you're happy, but I'm not happy. And I don't like being like this. And we need to work together. You just need to understand. See, again, moving is something a woman feels, and men don't understand that. I have had so many men say, my wife made me read your book, and now I understand what she's going through. So it's okay to say, I don't have friends yet, and to express your feelings. There's nothing wrong with expressing your feelings. It's what you do with those feelings that can be wrong. You can be angry. Jesus was angry. I mean, angry is an emotion, but it's what you do with that anger. If you lash out, or if you storm out of the room, or if you say something before thinking it through, or, it's what you do with that anger. So I just encourage you, if you're a listener, to know that there's hope in your marriage. This is a season that you're going through, and you need to be a part of that communication to get it back on track. Because your husband is going to go on and not realize it, not have a clue. He thinks you're happy. He thinks you couldn't wait to come to Phoenix. Oh my gosh. And when I told Bill, I said, I hate it here. Then he said, what? And so then we talked it through. And so all I'm saying is, work at making it become a one again, that you're an us. It's not a you and a him. You're an us.
Because it's so true, when you move, you're on emergency mode. You're dealing with this, you're trying to deal with that, get the bills, get running water to the house, all these sorts of things. You can't find anything, and everything has to be done now, now, now. So there is this emergency mode where but as you say, you can't live in that for an extended period of time. And so what would you say were the some warning signs? What would you give as warning signs? Because everyone, both the husband and the wife, they're giving it all they've got. She's seeking to get the kids settled and all these sorts of things, make their house a home, and he's, no doubt trying to prove himself in his new position at work. Have we just hired someone worthy, or have we made a bad decision? He's trying to prove that he's, or she, of course, is the person capable, that they made a good hire. So everyone's doing their parts. No one's lazy, sitting on the couch just doing nothing. Everyone's doing their bits. But what would you say would be like some warning signs of, that we need to stop for the sake of our marriage for a moment?
Well, for one thing, lack of communication. When there's no communication between the two of you, other than how was your day? Fine. How was your day? Fine. I mean, when there's no in-depth communication, and when that's a danger sign, because then you drift further and further apart, and then you become more and more self-sufficient. And out of 14 moves, I built a wall around me where I became so self-sufficient that, okay, we're going to move again. I can handle this. I can do it. I don't need you. See, there you go. That's the danger. When you think, I can handle this, I can do this, I don't need him. There's a resentment in that. There's anger in that. There's bitterness in that. And I think that in our study, we teach a woman that, okay, those feelings are normal. You're going to have them, but what are you going to do with them? How are you going to attempt at breaking that barrier between the two of you? And so that's where I say, make an effort to either, if he likes to walk, if he likes to golf, ride in the golf cart with him, for heaven's sakes. Anything that you can do that will build a oneness or a communication. And, it's not always easy. And a lot of men are self-absorbed in their work. A lot of times I have found that staying on my knees and praying for our marriage or for Bill, for myself, it takes two to tango. So that God would work in and through our difficulties in moving all the time. I think it's important to pray for him. I think it's important to recognize those signs. You can feel them, Julian. It's not just communication. You can feel that drift. And what are you going to do about it? A lot of times you cannot wait for him to make the first move because he doesn't know how and he doesn't think about those things. So that's okay. It just means you've got to buckle up and make that first move and begin to break that wall. You want to build bridges in your marriage, not walls. And I've always said, okay, I love this man so much. I will do whatever it takes to build a bridge, Lord. Just show me what you want me to do. And, there you go. Pray for him, and, love him unconditionally. Accept him for the fact that he is preoccupied in his job and that it will pass and that you'll help that. Connectedness come back to one, that wholeness.
Because, sorry to interrupt. No, what one just key point that you mentioned was, because I've heard, I've heard it saying before, people that I've been in touch with, how the guy says, in situations, and maybe the girl, I don't know, but in people I've spoken to, the guys have said, I didn't think anything was wrong. There's been this big explosion in the marriage, and it's like, a bomb went off or something, and he said, I didn't think anything was wrong, everything. And so just that, just you're saying, just that, though, so let me put words into your mouth, which you can say if I'm right or wrong, is what you were saying of building bridges, not assuming that he or she are thinking the same way as you, and just to check in with one another and say, how is everything going? Not to make, let's talk about Julian here. For Julian, not to make assumptions that everything's great, that she my wife's having the best life on planet Earth, but so to check in, you're saying, and just sort of say, how are things going? And perhaps as I found out, find a time where you're not surrounded by the kids asking you questions or the telephone's ringing, or find a quiet time where you can actually talk about these things.
And
Would you say that was a fair statement?
oh yeah, because like I say, there have been so many women that have said to me, my husband said, I didn't know anything was wrong. And so, a couple of things that I would suggest is to, pray together. Pray together. If your husband's not a believer, pray for him. But, to have a daily devotional reading together or praying together to do something that is Christ-centered. To pray for each other and give thanks for each other. There's nothing like hearing your husband pray for you or him hearing you pray for him. Have those weekly catch-up conversations and even call it a catch-up conversation. Hey, I had one woman say to me, my husband's so busy in his new job, I wasn't too proud to say, put me in your appointment book. And she said, I was scheduled every week for a catch-up conversation. I mean, think about that. That was such a creative, fun attitude she had about it. Keep short accounts with each other. Don't go to bed angry with each other. Keep short accounts, talk it out, work it out. Schedule, like I said before, regular time for a date night. and plan a getaway for just the two of you. And that getaway could be down the street at a park with a picnic, or whatever, out of town. It just depends on your circumstances, but plan time for just the two of you. I had another wife that said, my husband was always having business lunches, and I packed a lunch and I knew that he didn't have a lunch on a certain day. I packed a lunch and I showed up at his office and said, we're going to have a picnic together right here in your office. So you can be creative and just have that time together. And then look for stress cracks in your spouse. Is the job working out? Is everything coming together? Be sensitive to what he's going through. He's, as you said earlier, Julian, he's trying to figure out, am I going to fit? Was this a good move for my family? So look for those stress cracks, and that helps that communication. And if he says, yeah, it's really hard, and I thought this was going to be different, then you can not only give him encouragement, but you can say, you know what? I feel the same way. I thought this was going to work out, but you know what? We're going to make it happen together. Always come back to the together, the us. Always come back to that. And just to be there for each other, and let your children see that. Let your children see that this move, because a move is traumatic for children, let them see that mom and dad are strong and steady. Just let them see that you're there for each other. And let me tell you something, if you're a single mom listening and you work all day and you come home and you've got to fix dinner by yourself, and you're thinking, how, where am I in all of this, Lord? How, I have nobody to encourage me. Let me tell you what, God knows that. It only takes one person in your family that stands strong, that your children will see your faith, will hear you pray. It takes one person with God's love and faith and hope that and trust that will shine a light on your family. So you may feel alone, but you are not, because Christ is with you and he will make a way for you.
And of course, your ministry as well. If a lady finds herself feeling very alone for whatever reason, there are other family members, but they may be around the world, or that they may be in various parts of the US, different time zones, and so forth. How can a lady listening who's thinking, I'm lost. I've lost my friends. The other part of the country. There's this. There's that. The children are struggling at school. They were doing fine at that school, and now they're in this new one. They don't have the same friends. I'm very concerned. How would that lady receive help from your ministry?
Well, she can email me or email our ministry, reach us, reachus, reach us at justmove.org. And that will get to me or get to our staff appropriately. The other thing is go to our website, justmoved.org. And that is a resource website with encouragement, hope, testimonies, stories, blogs, podcast, you name it, that will encourage her. Sign up for everything free. Get our sign up for weekly words of encouragement, our Bloom publication. These are all resources that will help you in your transition of moving and loss. That's the best way. Order the book online on our website, and that goes the money goes back into our ministry 100%. When you order materials on our website, it goes back to us. We're also our book is on After the Boxes Are Unpacked, of course, is available on Amazon. It's available, through Focus on the Family. But if you order it from us, then it The proceeds go back to us. But we have a store on our website that would encourage you also.
Justmoved.org. So if you need some help, there are people there who wish to help you. And so it's been for 30 years they've been seeking to reach out to women. And guys, it's also, reach out to some guy friends as well. You're also going through difficulties. And so read, whether you're a male or a female, read Susan's book. And may God bless you as he journeys with you in your move around the country. And God bless you all. Thank you, Susan, for joining us.
Thank you, Julian.
Jesus defines discipleship as come and follow me. Next Monday at 5:30 p.m. on Faith Talk 1360, we'll hear another testimonial from a leader demonstrating how they and the people of the church are sacrificially loving the needy and beginning to see real change in their communities. If you have a personal example of how you are being the hands and feet of Jesus with your neighbors, we'd love to hear from you. Enter your story at harvestfoundation.org. That's harvestfoundation.org on the Contact Us tab. You can also subscribe to the podcast on The Kingdom and Its Stories on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Athletes, whatever sport you're playing, you need hydration to take your game to the next level. With potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and B vitamins, plus no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes, Body Armor Sports Drink provides the hydration your body needs to take on the challenge, no matter the occasion. So, get out there today and hydrate with Body Armor. It's more than a sports drink. It's Body Armor Sports Drink. Stock up on Body Armor at your local Fry's.